Well, here we are. Thanks for joining me this morning. These are interesting times, aren't they? I mean, who would have thought several months ago that we would end up here? And yet here we are. So this morning we're going to talk about where we are, where we're going, and where God is in the middle of all of this. Like everyone else, we just got the news late on Thursday afternoon that all gatherings over 250 people have been banned. And so we as a staff, we've been scrambling over the last couple of days to figure out how we're going to respond. And one of the options was to simply cancel church, just to say, you know, go do your own thing. We'll see you when this is all done. And certainly that's an option that a number of churches have chosen. But in many ways, it's in times like this when our world is kind of spinning a little bit out of control, that it's more important than ever that we walk together and encourage one another and strengthen each other as we follow Jesus. And so we didn't want to just simply cancel church. Instead, we want to see this as an opportunity to become more like the church in all kinds of ways, to become stronger in our community, to grow in our faith, to follow Jesus more actively, and to find new and creative ways to see the kingdom of God go forward in the world around us. So more than ever, this is a time for us as the church to be salt and light. So as you well know, we've canceled our Sunday morning gathering at the church building. We're still meeting on Sunday mornings, just scattered all over the city, but gathered together online. And we've also, you should know, we've also canceled all the larger events at the church. Celebrate Recovery, Petals, Junior Youth, Ridge Kids, the seniors events. And this was pretty easy for us right now because everyone's on spring break anyway. But after spring break, we're going to have to note and see how we're going to go after that. So just stay posted, and we'll let you know where that's at. So that's what's happening around here. But let's turn now and talk a little bit about what's happening out there. And let's spend just a few moments together thinking about what it is that we should be learning and how it is that we should be thinking about all of this stuff. You know, if you've been following the news, you know it's kind of like the whole world has gone a little bit crazy. The last information I could find about the virus said that it spread to over 149 countries, over 150,000 people infected by it, 5,800 people have already died, and the impact that it's having has been huge. And you've seen the news. I mean, beyond the healthcare crisis, there's been a huge effect on travel, all sorts of travel coming to a halt. There's conferences and conventions that have been canceled. People are bailing out of their holidays. Even Disneyland is closed. There's been a huge effect on the economy. The stock market is bouncing all over the place. Business is slowing down. There's talk of layoffs. Places like the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, soccer, they've all been canceled. And even closer to home, I mean, we're seeing things like panic buying. You see lineups of grocery stores outside of grocery stores in the U.S. And even here around here, I mean, one of the ladies in the church was in Costco the other day and she saw a fist fight in Costco over toilet paper. And even on Friday night, I was at Walmart and, you know, it was fascinating to see. There were some aisles there that had nothing in them. Obviously, the aisle where they sold the toilet paper was empty. The aisle where they sold the sanitizer was empty. But what was interesting was to see that also the aisle where they sold the pasta and the dried goods was empty. And the same with the aisle where they sold the flour and the sugar. And it's fascinating to see how this is affecting us right here, right now. And I wonder how it's been affecting you and how you're feeling about it all. You know, as I think about it, for some people, there's this sort of sense of bewilderment and confusion. Like, how on earth is all of this suddenly just happening? It kind of came out of nowhere. And for others, there's this sort of sense of disappointment. You know, Nuala and I, our family, we were planning to go on our first ever cruise, and obviously that isn't going to happen. And then we thought, well, you know, maybe we could just cancel that and just go to Disneyland, and that isn't happening. And now it looks like we aren't really going anywhere. And, you know, to be honest, we're kind of disappointed. We were looking forward to that. And maybe you're feeling that kind of disappointment in your world too. And then closely connected to that is this sense of frustration. I mean, it took me 4, 5, 6 hours on the phone to be able to get through to cancel our flights and reservations and all of that. And yet that's nothing, I think, compared to the frustration that some are feeling, people who've worked on their projects and events and competitions that they've worked on sometimes for weeks or months or even years, and suddenly it's canceled, it's put on hold. And again, maybe it's a case for you. You know, suddenly your plans for the next weeks or months have been put on hold and you're feeling frustrated. But then there's another feeling that seems more common all the time, and that's fear. You know, there's certainly this growing fear in our world around the economy. The economy is slowing down. Businesses are stalling. The stock market is crumbling. And even around here, I know of people who have lost contracts and others who aren't going to be hiring new employees. And there's this kind of growing fear of this coming crash. You know, sometimes, like, if you're about to crash, you kind of close your eyes and you're kind of waiting for it to happen. It kind of feels like that around the economic stuff. And then, of course, at the base of all of this, there's the fear about our health. People are getting sick, and some are dying as a result of this virus. And that's a very real thing. It's a very real fear. So the question is this: how should we think about this? How should we, as followers of Jesus, approach all of this and act in light of it? And so there's a couple things we want to talk about. First of all, I think there's something that we need to be noticing. You know, there's so much happening around us. The news is coming at us from every direction. And one of the things that we need to notice is this, in the midst of it all. We need to notice how fragile our world is. Our world is actually much more fragile than we think. And in fact, we're much more fragile than we think. You know, when everything is going the way that we think it should be going, when it's going so well and everything's going great, we have this sense that we're invincible or that we are somehow insulated from all the things that are going on out there. And yet now here's this virus, this thing that we can't even see with the naked eye that came from the middle of nowhere, somewhere in the middle of China, and is actually kind of bringing the whole world to its knees. Now, we're trying our best to contain the spread of it, and I think that, you know, people are pretty confident that that's going to happen. But imagine if there is a virus that was even more aggressive and more contagious than that. Imagine how devastating that would be. You know, it's easy for us to forget how fragile we are. King David in Psalm 103 writes this: "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind or a virus blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." So one of the things we want to notice is how fragile we are. Not so that we're filled with fear. We're not, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but so that you remember to keep the important things the important things. I mean, this is a good time to simply stop and take stock of your life and ask yourself, am I investing my time and my energy in the things that are most important? Am I working at the things that have true value? Am I really living for Christ, or have I somehow got off track, you know, focused on the non-essentials? Because it seemed to me that nothing could shake what I was doing or what I was planning. You know, Moses in Psalm 90, verse 12 says this: "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So the first thing that we need to be doing, that we should be doing right now, is to notice that our world, that ourselves, that it's pretty fragile. But then here's the second thing that we should also be doing. We should remember that God is sovereign over it all. Now, we talk about this all of the time, but now is the time for us to live in light of it. And Jesus was teaching the crowds one day, and this is what he said. He said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or about what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" You know, Jesus says, look, think about the birds for a second. They are incredibly fragile. They've got no social security network. They got no pension plan, no insurance. They aren't exactly known for their great strength or their brilliance. They don't sow or reap. They don't keep all their food in the fridge somewhere. And yet God provides for them. In fact, the God of all the universe, the one who is sovereign over all, his sovereignty and his care extends even to the birds. In Matthew 10, Jesus says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." I mean, think about what he's saying there. Not a single bird, not a little sparrow falls to the ground outside of God's sovereignty and his care. And how much more valuable are you and I to God our Father than the birds of the air? You see, the God of all the universe is sovereign over the birds, over your life, over mine, over our city and our nation, over the world. So at this time when so many people are panicking, and when there is this sort of creeping fear in our world around us about what it all may mean, may we as followers of Jesus, who know God and know that he is good and that he is sovereign over all, may we remember that and may we live with a faith and confidence in our God. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be wise. I mean, we should take reasonable precautions. But at nighttime, you know, when you lay your head on your pillow and you say your prayers, then you should lay your head down and sleep like a baby. Because as fragile as everything is, let's not forget that God is sovereign over all. Okay? So we need to notice, first of all, how fragile it is. But then secondly, we need to remember God's sovereignty. And here's the third thing. Here's next. We need to beware of social isolation. You know, we're talking all of a sudden about words we haven't heard before, like social distancing. Social distancing is the idea that we leave lots of space between us and the next person so that there is less likelihood of transmitting any sickness. And that's a good thing. However, the danger is that social distancing leads us to social isolation. The danger is that in our effort to avoid contact with one another, that we stop being engaged in community with one another. We need to be careful that we don't fall into that kind of a trap. We're a community of people who are following Jesus together. And so we need to make sure that we're caring for one another throughout all of this time. You know, those who are sick, they need to go to a doctor or hospital. We have a great medical system. We need to listen to everything that the government tells us, all the instructions about how to deal with the sickness and that. But the danger is that others in our community who aren't sick, that somehow they end up getting isolated because of this whole thing. So we need to keep making sure that we find ways to care for one another and stay connected to one another. The government, after all, isn't saying that we shouldn't ever be together in small groups. We shouldn't be together with one another. So let's be careful not to be afraid to care for one another. Let's just be wise in how we do it. Let's keep inviting our friends and our family, our neighbors, over to our homes if they aren't sick. And let's share with one another when we're in need. I mean, things like toilet paper is surprisingly in scarce supply these days. If you run out of toilet paper and there isn't any in the stores, you don't want to be without toilet paper for very long. And don't be one to be like, I won't ask. Like, you need toilet paper. So, you know, let's talk to one another. And if someone is self-quarantined, you know, while still being safe, let's find ways to care for their needs and to help their family and to make sure that they continue to stay connected with them through texts and social media and maybe even, you know, the old-fashioned telephone call. Let's just be aware that among us in our church that we don't have people who are experiencing social isolation just because we're practicing social distance. So we're going to notice. We're going to remember, we're going to be aware, and finally the last thing we're going to do is we're going to act. Psalm 37:3 says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good." And then in the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes this, "So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So here's what we want to do. We want to be that way. You know, I read a fascinating article about the church in Wuhan. You know, Wuhan is the epicenter of where this all started. It's this mega city in the middle of China that's been kind of under virtual quarantine since the virus really got going. But the fascinating thing is the church has not hit its head in the sand and disappeared. Instead, the church has been serving in all kinds of practical ways and sharing the good news of the gospel this whole time. So for instance, when the virus really hit hard there, the local government was paralyzed and incompetent in many ways, and the Wuhan Red Cross failed to distribute so much of the needed resources to the frontline workers. It turns out it was the church that delivered masks and protective gears accurately and effectively and efficiently during that time. One church delivered over 400 quality masks and 1,000 pairs of gloves and 1,000 protective goggles to Wuhan Central Hospital. And that's the hospital where the first doctor identified this outbreak and made the world aware of it. And all of that protective gear, all of that which was given by the church, came from other churches, churches in places like Taiwan and Hong Kong and North America. And then that same church distributed another 30,000 masks out on the streets of Wuhan in the first couple weeks of the quarantine. And in the early days of the outbreak, when so many people became sick, they became desperate because they were being turned away from hospitals every day because there wasn't room in the hospitals. And it was a Christian engineer in one of the churches there who set up a social media account to begin to help people who were in desperate need to find medical help and hospital beds that were there. And it was people in the church that helped get that information. And it was the church that was actively helping their community in the midst of their need. This is what the church has regularly done throughout all of history. Where there's needs in the community, the church comes and they serve in Jesus' name. Now listen, I'm not suggesting at all that we should be out on the streets handing out masks. It's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that as a church, we should be looking for ways that we can serve our city and the ways that we can serve our neighbors and those around us. And I don't know what that is, but God knows. And we just need to be open to what he asks us to do. So let's keep our eyes open. Let's keep watching for the opportunities that God opens before us. You know, I was in the hospital just the other day. I was visiting one of the members in our church. And just so you're not worried, it's nothing to do with the COVID virus. But after we visited there, for a while, I got out my Bible and I read to him from Psalm 103. And it's a great psalm. If you haven't read that in a while, you should read it. And then I prayed for him. And you know how it is in those hospital rooms. I mean, there's just a curtain dividing him and the guy on the other side. And the other guy, he'd been through a pretty rough time. And while I was reading and praying, he'd heard everything. And so after I said goodbye to the guy from our church, as I was walking past the other guy's bed, I just stopped and said, "How are you?" And we chatted for a minute. And they said, "You know, you heard me reading the Bible and praying, and I just want you to know God knows exactly how many days each of us has. And it sounds like you're in quite a battle." And we chatted a bit more. And then I said, "You know, would you mind if I prayed for you?" He said, "Yeah, I'm good with that." And so I just stopped right there. I just had a chance to pray for him. Just really short, nothing fancy, nothing profound. But praying for God to work in his life and to care for him. And then I had to go. But who knows what God will do in his life? I just did my part. And, you know, for each of us, let's keep looking to see what part God has for us to do in these days. And let's not miss this opportunity. This is an opportunity for us as individuals and as a church to see the message of the good news and to serve our neighbors. All right. So now where are we going from here? What's happening next for us as a church? This week was a little crazy around here as we've been pivoting hard and fast to adjust to the new realities of our world. But next week, we're going to go back to our regular routine of opening up the Word of God, looking at it together, walking through a passage sort of verse by verse, and listening together to what it teaches us about who God is and what's going on in our world and how it is that we're going to live for Him in this world. Only for the next couple of weeks, instead of returning to our series in the book of Mark, instead we're going to spend some time looking at what the Bible says and teaches about how to live in times like this, times of fear and upheaval and chaos. So we're going to talk about the fear of what's going on out there. I mean, in biblical days, it was famine and war. For us today, it's things like pandemic and economic chaos. I mean, how should we think about that? Because it looks like those things are coming right around the corner for us. And we're going to talk about other kinds of fear that we wrestle with. A fear of death, fear of dying, fear of suffering and pain, and even the fear of what others think and how they think about us. And in between, we're going to look to how to apply that to how we live. Right here, right now, in the world we're living in. And through it all, we're going to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus and the confidence and the peace that comes from trusting in Him and even the opportunities that are going to come up for us in all kinds of ways to serve Christ and to love our neighbors in the midst of this world that suddenly seems to be so filled with chaos. So we're going to keep you posted about what's going to happen next week. Everything might change again, but right now it looks like this ban on larger gatherings is going to be in place for some time. Maybe not, but probably for a while. So, listen, I want to encourage you to plan to keep a regular rhythm of gathering together with us. You know, when everything in our world is kind of chaotic and out of control and, you know, there's all these questions, there's just real value in having a rhythm, a discipline in your life where you say, at this time of the week, in this place, I'm going to stop and I'm just going to gather together with others, even if it's just online, and together we're going to follow Jesus and we're going to think about how it is we're going to live. So I want you to plan to be here again next Sunday at 10 a.m. And if you can, plan to do it with a few others. And of course, it's been said a million times, but just let me reiterate, don't get together with anyone if you aren't feeling well. But if you are well, you know, consider making Sunday mornings a bit of an event. I mean, if it's just your family, have a special breakfast. Get the pancakes and the bacon and the eggs and get out the Bible and read some of it together before you join us at 10 a.m. And if you have young children, yeah, Anna, our children's directory has a whole website with information that you can use to have a simple but worthwhile time with your kids. Talk about spiritual things. And if you're able to get together with a few other friends, neighbors, your community group, you know, maybe consider having a simple breakfast together. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It could be like milk and cereal and toast. Or maybe you stay for lunch afterwards. Same thing. Keep it simple. Just sandwiches or something like that. Or maybe you just meet for an hour. Check in online, pray together, and then go again. But we want to do this together. There's something that's both powerful and also beautiful when we walk together in community with one another at this time. And if you don't have someone to meet with, but you would like to, let us know. We can't guarantee that we can arrange anything, but we'll try and see if we can't make it possible at some point for you to connect with some others. All right. Well, that's what I have to say today. When we're done here, it's entirely up to you about what you're going to do next. I want to encourage you, though, whether you're alone or with your family or with your community group, would you spend some time praying together? It doesn't have to be long or fancy. But this is important time for us to be praying. You know, pray for one another. Pray for our city. Pray for our nation and our world. And pray that God would work through us and in us as we live for Him in this time. And of course, pray for whatever else God puts on your heart. There are also some questions that Pastor Gary has put together, and you can find those by clicking at the link that's, I think, going to be right at the end of this. And you could just spend some time to talk and to consider some more about what it is we're talking about today. You might also be interested in doing some worship. Again, it's entirely up to you, but if you would like to, there's some suggestions in that same document about some great worship songs that you could sing either, you know, by yourself if you're out on a walk or together with your group. But just consider spending some time together and worshiping as well. Finally, you know, as you know, this is something brand new for us. We'd love to hear back from you. How did it go today? What is God doing in your life? What is He doing through you or through your group and where you are? And I mean, where's God's hand at work in all of this? Because, of course, God is not surprised by any of this. He's sovereign over all. And as we trust Him, He's going to be doing all kinds of good things in our lives and in the world around us. So feel free to share that with us. You can send it to Pastor Gary, just gary@ridgebaptist.ca. And let's celebrate together what God is doing. All right. I want to end with just a short word of prayer. Would you join me? Would you bow your heads? Let's just pray and ask God to continue to guide us together as we follow after Him. Let's pray. God, you know the things going on in the world. You know this is just different than anything that we have done before. And yet, Lord, churches all over the world gather in different places, some underground, some under trees, some in cathedrals. Here today, Lord, we're gathered here scattered all over our city. And yet, God, you are right here in our midst. And God, you are at work in us. And God, as we've said, we acknowledge that you are sovereign over all. So God, we will not fear. Father, we will be wise, but we will not fear. And Father, we want to continue to be your church, your people, your community that walk together through this. And so God, may you help us. May you give us eyes to see one another and how we care for one another and how we love and serve one another. And God, may you give us eyes to see those around us, how we may serve in our community, how we may serve our neighbors. God, may this time that we walk through now, whether it's weeks or months, whatever it is, God, may you work in such powerful ways that we look back and say, oh God, we had no idea what you were going to do, and we're so grateful for what you did among us and even in our own lives during this time. So we give ourselves to you, we trust you, and we continue to follow after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.